good morning to all of you. We're glad you're here at Grace Bible Church on this last Sunday in the month of March. In our call to worship, we are going through 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the great passage dealing with love. We now come to verse 7, where it says, "Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things." The emphasis being on certain qualifications dealing with all things. How does love deal with all things? Basically is the thought that's being brought across by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Beareth all things. It's able to carry the load that's given to it. When I was growing up, I was small for my age. I was always the smallest kid in my class. And I remember there were many, many times when we would have to carry boxes or do stuff like that. "Come here, Todd, this is your size." And, you know, as a kid, you know, you always want to get the big box. But here, Todd, here's your size to carry. You know, I said, "You know, one of these days I'm gonna get the big box, you know, so I can show everybody that I can carry it." Well, you know, one thing about love, charity, agape love, is that it's able to carry the load that is given. God is so wonderful in this regard. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to put it like this, ask God to give you bigger shoulders to carry the burden that He's given you to carry. In other words, love will step in and will help you carry that load. Not only that, believeth all things. Now, this is not saying that we believe everything that everybody says. All right? That would be naive, would it not? What is he saying here? Is that love exercises faith. Love exercises faith. Love is not blind, but love believes God, because God is the author of love. And so we have to believe God. We talked about the illustration in Sunday school today about Gideon. God was working in Gideon's heart to bring him to a place where he would live by faith and not by sight. Not live by his wits, not live by his, you know, his talents and abilities, but rather live by faith. And God went through his life and kicked out every prop. We were talking about that just a moment ago with Mr. O'Pager. God kicked out every prop in Gideon's life, and the only thing he had left was whom? God Almighty. And did God give the victories? Absolutely he did. God fulfilled his word to Gideon, teaching him that we ought to exercise faith. Faith and love go together. Hopeth all things. Love is not doom and gloom. You know, knowing God is the most positive thing in your life. You know, no matter what I face on this earth, I'm going to be with Him for all eternity. Amen? I'm going to be with Him. I'm going to know the joys of His presence. I'm going to be able to rejoice with Him for all eternity. So to walk around with your knuckles dragging the ground, with a long drawn out face, about, "Oh, woe is me, I'm going to go eat dirt." You know, that's not a place for love. And then finally, endureth all things. Love is tenacious. Love gets the job done. All I can think about is a mama taking care of her children. What motivates a mom to get up in the morning and get her children up and fix breakfast and get their lunch boxes ready for school and carry them off to school and then tend to the things of life for her children? It's love. It's love. You see, love is practical, and love is not just words. It produces fruit. And there are four of them that are listed in verse 7. In this passage of Scripture. Let's meditate on those. Let's think about those. And then look in our own lives. Is this apparent in my life? Am I exercising that kind of love that bears all things and believes God and trusts in Him and hopes in Him? That's the kind of faith and love we ought to have in our Christian life.
Let's turn to number 620 this morning. Number 620. Please take your hymn book. 620. What a wonderful Savior. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 5. Verses 1, 3, and 5, number 620, and we'll stand together to sing.
Mm-hmm.
Please remain standing as Brother Opeger leads us in prayer.
Our Father, what a wonderful hymn to bring forth from our lips this morning, which reminds us of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful Savior is He to us. And I pray, Father, that if there are any in this group today that know not Jesus Christ as their Savior, that know not the wonderful salvation that He so richly gives to all of us, and I pray, Father, that they might receive Him as that wonderful Savior. Father, we thank You so much for this wonderful day. We thank You for the good Sunday school lesson that we had this morning that reminded us that we are to walk by faith, not by sight. Walk by faith, not by sight. Lord, test You with our walk and receive Your strength, Your labor in our behalf, that we might do the things that You call us to do. And so we pray and thank You so much for our Sunday school time. And we pray, Father, that all those folks that are here that perhaps don't come to Sunday school, that they would start coming and receive the good lessons that are taught in our Sunday school time. Do bless this ministry, Father. We're so thankful that we have a place to come each Sunday morning, each Sunday night, each Wednesday. We have a place where little children and older children can come to receive the education that they need. And I pray, and we know that we have the Children's Bible Club and the projector and the Learning Center, all the missionaries that we support. What a wonderful opportunity, Father, that we have to participate in the works of this ministry. And we pray that they might be honoring to Thee and the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we might not take any credit for anything that goes on, but all credit goes to God, and we're thankful for that. Do bless our pastors, Father, as they labor in the vineyard of God each day and try to keep things moving ahead, Father, for Thee. And do bless them with good health and good strength, and help them to keep on keeping on, enduring and walking by faith and not by sight. We thank You, Father, for the country that we live in, where we still have a place where we can gather together without fear. And we're so thankful for that, Father, as so many places in the world are receiving persecution. We're thankful, Father, that we have the freedom to gather together like this in our country. Do bless those that are in authority. Father, our president needs so much help, and help him, Lord, to call upon You for that help in these times of difficulty and trial. And bless our armed forces also, Father. We know that they're all over the world protecting us, going on ships and planes and in the field. We pray that You would just undertake for them and bless them as they undertake to protect this nation. Bless us today, Father, as we listen to the message, as we sing these wonderful songs. May we participate, Father, in this service, and even sing by faith and hear by faith all the things that go on in this service. May it be done by faith. And then bless the time that we have together to eat, and we even eat by faith, knowing that everything comes from Thy hand. And we thank You so much for it. Do bless us now today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated as we turn now to number 117. 117, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, number 117. cared for me like Jesus. Let's turn now to number 144 before the message, number 144. Look ye saints, the sight is glorious, number 144. We'll sing just on verse number 1 and 2, verse number 1 and 2, 144.
Singing this morning. Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're going to be starting at the last verse of chapter 1, and then we're going to read the first 11 verses of chapter 2. And I'm going to be reading this morning from the Amplified Bible this morning, beginning at verse 28 of chapter 1 and reading through verse 11 of chapter 2. Verse 28. Therefore I have given him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is given to the Lord. And they worshiped the Lord there. Hannah prayed and said, My heart exalts and triumphs in the Lord. My horn, my strength is lifted up in the Lord. My mouth is no longer silent, for it is opened wide over my enemies, because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord. There is none beside you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance go forth from your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread. But those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren has borne 7, but she who has many children languishes and is forlorn. The Lord slays and makes alive. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and He lifts up. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifts up the needy from the ash heap, to make them sit with nobles and inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of His godly ones, but the wicked shall be silenced and perish in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them will He thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge all peoples to the ends of the earth, and He will give strength to His King and exalt the power of His anointed, the Anointed One, His Christ. Verse 11, Elkanah and his wife Hannah returned to Ramah to his house, but the child ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You so much for this passage of Scripture. We thank You, Father, for the testimony of this godly lady who poured out her heart before Thee in prayer, seeking for a son. And then when the answer to that prayer came and she had a son, she returned him unto Thee, and she rejoiced in all that You had done through her and the victories that You had given her. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we might take to heart this song of Hannah, this prayer of Hannah, as she rejoices as she leaves her son there at the tabernacle to serve Thee for the rest of his life. Lord, I pray that You would give us thankful hearts. Help us, Lord, not to be complainers and gripers and those who are constantly whining about this situation and that situation, or what we don't have or what we wish we have. Lord, help us to be thankful for what you provided and to be content with that. And help us, Lord, to have the spirit of Hannah. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In many ways, this is kind of a very sad day for Hannah, because she is delivering to Eli, the high priest, her son. She's only had him for maybe 3, possibly 4 years. But in those 4 years, she's connected with Samuel, and she has taught Samuel what it means to obey, what it means to love God, what it means to serve God. And when she brings her son to Eli, she prays before the Lord. She is not weeping like she was the last time that she came. Remember, she did not go up with Elkanah during those interim years to bring Samuel up. She stayed back at home. There was no interruptions to be had when it came to training this boy. But when the time was come and it was time to go up to the temple to worship the Lord, she came with her husband. And what a spirit and attitude that she had. You know, I wish today that we had more people that had that kind of spirit and attitude when it comes to dedicating their children to the Lord. You know, we live in such a selfish world where children today are raised almost like animals. We see this out at the ballpark all the time, where, you know, kids are just out there doing their own thing. And we need to understand here that Hannah was leaving her 4-year-old child in the care of someone who was a horrible parent. Now just chew on that for just a moment. We're going to see in this chapter what this little boy is going to have to grow up with. It was horrible what he had to grow up with. Some people would get upset immediately and say, "Oh, why did God do that? Why did God allow that?" Folks, do you understand just how small we really are in God's presence? All right? Do you understand that God can do more than one thing at a time? As a matter of fact, there's no limit to the things. Some people struggle with walking and chewing gum. You know, it's like, you know, they can't do it. Some people struggle with doing more than thinking more than one thought at a time. That was me in math class. All right? He was talking about axioms, and that was Mr. O'Pager during the time, and I'm just like going, "Well, let's see, what am I going to do when I get home today?" That was my one thought. I wasn't thinking geometry. I wasn't thinking the Pythagorean theorem. I was thinking about what I was going to do in the afternoon. All right? But you know what? God's not limited like we are. And why would a limited individual go to an unlimited God and question Him? You know what I would do? I would back it up right then. Right before I spouted off my, "Well, why'd you allow that, God? Why did you make that poor woman have to give up her 4-year-old son to go and live with a man who was a terrible parent? Why would you do that, God?" As if we know better. Right? That's what we're saying. We know better about these things, God. I'm going to tell you something, and you better listen to this very well. When we stand in His presence one day, we're going to see the glory and majesty of what God was doing in Samuel's life and in Hannah's life and in Elkanah's life and in Peninnah's life. And we're going to see it all fit together like a perfect puzzle. And all we'll do is say how marvelous this is in our eyes. Do you understand that? We will know then what we do not know and do not understand now. Now, I have to be honest with you. I've struggled with this passage of Scripture. I've struggled with it because could I do that? Could I take my daughter, my youngest child at 4, and turn her over to someone that I know is a failure as a parent And that's what Eli, the Bible says that about Eli. He was a failure. He allowed things to go on in the temple, the tabernacle, that should have been dealt with, that was worthy of what? Death. His sons were worthy of death, but not in his mind. Not in his mind. No. I want you to know something from this passage of Scripture. Hannah's not bitter about giving her child to the Lord. Do you see any note of bitterness in here toward God in chapter 2? Anybody take note of any bitterness there? Anger and upset with God? She's the one that vowed the vow, right? She said, Lord, this child will be yours through his whole life. I want him to be a Nazarite. I want him to be dedicated to thee. Only two of them are mentioned in the Bible, Samson and Samuel here. No word of bitterness. And she prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. You know what, parents and grandparents? We need to understand something about children and grandchildren. They're not ours. Children are an heritage of the Lord. They belong to Him. That's why when they die in childbirth and they die before the age of accountability, where do they go? They go back to their father. They go home. All right? They go home. As a parent, you've got to understand that you're raising God's kids. That's a different way of thinking, isn't it? Because when you look at them at home, you wouldn't think they were God's kids. Right? You wouldn't think that. When you're having to go back and discipline them because they didn't do what they were supposed to do, they didn't obey, or they backtalked, or they did something that they shouldn't have done, you had to go discipline, you wouldn't think they were God's kids, but the Bible says they are. Children are an heritage of the Lord. And she was dropping her only boy at this time. She's going to have five more children, by the way. We read about that here in chapter 2. She had three more boys and two more girls. What a wonderful picture we see after, get this, after she had those kids, after she conducted her vow. 4 years went by, no children. She dropped Samuel off, and then we read about later on in chapter 2 that she had three boys and two girls after she fulfilled her vow. Now, there's a lesson all in its own right there, folks. Don't vow things to God and then go back on Him. Don't vow things to God and go back on Him. You've got a responsibility to do what you said. And that's exactly what Hannah did. And she cries out to Him as she prays, oh, how I rejoice in Thee, my Lord! Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. Horn in the Old Testament Scriptures has to do with strength and power. It's exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in what? My salvation. My deliverance, literally, is the word that's used there. What had she been delivered from? She had been delivered from being barren and having no son. And she's rejoicing in that. It was a privilege for her to bring Samuel back and take him to the tabernacle to serve the Lord for the rest. It was a privilege. Boy, that thinking is so far different today than what we see in the culture. Let's go on to verse 2. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like unto our God. Now, I want you to notice what she sees and what she knows. She knows what Eli's like. She was accused by Eli of being what? Drunk. And she even went to him and said, listen, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. I'm not drunk. I just want God to give me a son. God gave her a son. She knows what Eli's like, and yet she still is going to honor God. How many times do we come up with excuses for not doing what we know we ought to do? because we assume that there's something bad going to happen if we fulfill whatever it is, and we assume that. Let me tell you something. Bad things happen all the time. But like Hannah, we can say, there is none holy as the Lord. He's holy. He's righteous. He never, ever has a passing thought of evil. He's perfect. So that means I have to change my thinking about situations. Amen? I have to change my thinking. And you know what? I find out that I have to think like Hannah did. The Lord, there's none holy as the Lord. For there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our Lord. What are you standing on this morning? What are you building your life on? The Lord Jesus gave the testimony of the two different types of foundation. There was the one who built his house upon the what? The sand. The Bible describes this man. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The wise man, though, did what? He built his house. He built his life on the rock. And when you build your life on the rock, are you going to get moved? No. The foolish man, though, that built his life on the sand, he was moved. He was destroyed when the storms of life came. And Hannah survived the storms of life because her feet were firmly planted on the rock, Christ Jesus. Do I hear an amen? Even when she's delivering her four-year-old boy to leave him behind so he can serve in the tabernacle for the rest of his life. Do you have a vision that goes off that far into the future? I think most of us, we just think for today. Some of you right now, and I'm me included because my stomach's growling right now. You might hear it over the microphone. I'm thinking about that fried chicken. And you're thinking, is Pastor Brainerd going to go long today? I don't know. But you think about it. You're thinking about all kinds of things. We're thinking about right now, right now, right now, right now, right now. But I'm going to tell you something. God's not thinking about right now. He's thinking before, present, after, future. He's thinking it all at the same time. And He knows the end from the beginning. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And it's high time, Christian, that started to settle right up here. What does that mean? It means there is none beside Him. He alone is worthy of my everything, even my only son. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy of my four kids. He's worthy of everything that I own. He's worthy. Why? Because it all belongs to Him anyway. I'm just a steward. Somehow we like to take God and we like to shrink Him down to right here. Then we can argue with Him. Right? We can argue with Him then because He's only this big. Like the Geico commercial that you see that lady behind the counter and the little gecko standing there on the counter. And she's standing there with her hands on her hips at him, you know, and he's trying to make an order. And she hollers out to the guy like she, boy, she had one mean looking. Well, I would have just got up and left, but not the Geico, you know, the Geico gecko. He stood up to her, you know, to place his order. Now, I want to tell you something. We like to shrink God down. We might like to make Him this big than God. How can you really expect me to fulfill my vow? How can you really expect me to fulfill my vow? You know, He's 4 years old now. I've come to love Him. I love Him when He comes and gives me a hug in the morning and says, "Hi, Mommy." And I'm not going to get that hug anymore. Not going to get that hug anymore because He's going to be serving the Lord. Can you think beyond the moment? Now listen to me. This is what it means to live the Christian life. This isn't what you're going to hear in the average church today that talks about feelings. I'm talking about what it means. It means, Lord, I promised you I'm going to give you this child and I'm going to give him to you and stick with it and not be angry and upset about it. means rejoicing in the Lord because you know who God is. Let's go on. Verse 3. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Now, who would she be referring to here? You don't have to think very, very long, do you? Penina. Penina, the adversary, as she's called in chapter 1. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. Every action that you make, God weighs it in the balance. Did you know that about God? You know, He's judging every action because as a Christian, you're going to be rewarded for your actions. One of these days, we're all going to be gathered together. Have you ever thought about that moment, standing before the judgment, the bema of God, as Jesus sits there, and everything you've done in your Christian life is laid out there, and you're standing before the Lord, and the fire of heaven comes and devours all the things that are wood, hay, and stubble, and then the fire preserves that which is gold, silver, and precious stones. And I want to tell you something, you're going to be weeping. You and I both are going to be weeping because we will wish we had given more to the worthy Savior. We wish we had done more for Him. As we watch all the works that were done in the flesh, because you see, what's left behind is going to be made into glorious crowns that we'll have the opportunity to cast at Jesus' feet. Because He is worthy. Oh, that judgment seat. But you know what He's going to do? Because He's so gracious and He's so good, He's going to wipe away our tears. That's the description that comes to us from the book of Revelation, that He's going to wipe away our tears and they will not appear anymore. We'll be delivered from what causes tears. Do I hear an amen? And it'll be the Lord Jesus that wipes away our tears because we didn't do what we should have done in this life. But He's still in grace and in love. Allows us to stay, not because of the works that we had, but because of the works that Jesus Christ did in our behalf. The righteousness that was made available to us. Verse 4, the bows of the mighty men are broken. And they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread. And they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. She's got a picture there in mind of herself and her adversary, and how that she had mocked, and she was fruitful, and she had a number of children. But now God has undertaken for Hannah. She's putting these two out there so that we can see the source of struggle that she had, but now God has shown Himself powerful in her behalf. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He has set the world upon them. You know what she's comparing all that to? She has her struggles that she had with Penina, but then she changes the subject. And she goes over here after she says, He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar, and says, He's the one that made the earth. He created, literally, the pillars of the earth, the world, and the Lord has set the world upon them. Have you and I done that? Have you and I done that? You know, we look at all the inventions today. All the marvelous things that individuals can do. They've got a space capsule that they're readying that has been done by, what's his name, Richard Branson from Virgin Airlines. He's developed a spacecraft. A reusable spacecraft that he wants to do to take people all the way out there into outer space and then bring them back in. And we marvel at the ability of man to be able to do that. To put them inside of a capsule where they're not having to wear the suit type thing. They're just riding up there and go up in there and they come back in. Just amazing to think about those kind of things. But that doesn't scratch the surface of the one who built the pillars of this earth and set the world on top of it. We haven't done that. All we do is take the stuff that He made, spoke into existence, and try to do something with it. That's all we can do. Let me tell you something. When you start thinking yourself big and powerful and someone to be reckoned with, you better look out because there's one that's bigger than you are. He's bigger than all of us. And He will take you down. He will take you down. Better be careful how you think. Notice verse 9. He will keep the feet of His saints. What's one of the first things to go in our human bodies as we get older? What do you see an abundance of today? Wheelchairs, right? Why wheelchairs? Because our feet and our legs are the first things to go. We have a number of folks that are out here at the ballpark that are in wheelchairs. And so we've got a wheelchair accessible bathroom unit out there. We've tried to make sure that we can help them. If we need to come and pick them up and take them down, we try to help them out any way that we can. But it's a reminder. It's a reminder, is it not? That which allows you portability, that which allows you to move around is the first thing that seems to go. Not always, not with 100% of everybody, but with many. The feet. And what does God say? What does Hannah say in her prayer to God? He keepeth the feet of His saints. Now, you know what she's talking about here? She's talking about the spiritual side of things. She was going to get old one day. She was going to become infirm. She would not be able to walk or whatever. But I do know this, that God keeps the feet of His saints. And the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. She emphasizes something that's emphasized throughout the Scripture, that no man can prevail against God Almighty. Not one. Not the biggest of men. You know, it's an amazing thing. I saw or was reading about Charles Atlas. Charles Atlas was a bodybuilder back in the 40s and 50s and so forth like that. And talked about his last years, the big bodybuilder, and how he had to be pushed around in a wheelchair, and how he had to be lifted out of the wheelchair. The man that was known as the strongest man was having to be pushed around and tended to by a young nurse. Okay? She was having to lift him up, pull him around. This strong man was made weak. That's what all of us face. We're failing. But God never fails. God never fails. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall be thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and He shall give strength unto His king, and exalt the horn of His anointed. You know what that's a reference to? That's a reference to His Son, Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords. His anointed. That's the picture that's given to, and she recognizes this. God will judge the earth. God is my judge between me and Peninnah. I'm going to let the Lord deal with her. But thank You, Lord, for dealing kindly with me and giving me my son. And as we read on later on, God visits her again. Because in this same chapter we learn, look at verse 20. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own home, and the Lord visited Hannah, so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. What a glorious prayer that this dear saint prayed. I'm convicted. I don't know about you, But I'm convicted because my first tendency when I face a struggle that I don't understand is to question God. That's the natural tendency within me. And it should be questioning myself. What can I learn from this? Because I already know that God is glorious and He's holy and there is none beside Him. And He is the one that gave to Hannah this wonderful victory of a son. And now she's returned him to the Lord. And the Lord speaks to her and says, Hannah, through Eli, the Lord bless thee because you have followed through with your vow concerning this boy. May the Lord bless you with seed. And she had five more kids. Five more children. Do you like good endings? I love good endings. And this is a wonderful ending because this was a woman that was completely dedicated to her God. And she believed Him. And she trusted in Him. And she didn't make excuses when it came time to fulfill the vow. She didn't make any excuses. As a matter of fact, it was the opposite that was true. She gave glory to the God who gave her a son. And she saw it as a privilege to turn him over, even though the one that her son would live with was a terrible parent. She was still thankful that she had the opportunity to fulfill her vow. God give us people that think less of themselves and think more of God. Then you'll begin to know what it means to have the glorious hand of God at work in your heart and life. But as long as your God is this big, all right, as long as He's this big and you can argue with Him, you're never going to know. You're never going to have the glorious blessings of God in your life until God fills the whole universe of your life and you see yourself as you really are. So that you don't have to have all the answers. Are you listening to me? You don't have to have all the answers. All you have to know is God who has all the answers. And then I can live by faith and I can live the Christian life and I can know the blessing of God in my heart and life. Because I'm trusting the one who has all the answers even though I don't know them. I'm trusting in Him. I'm thankful for the prayer and the song of Hannah. It's important to know this woman in order to get to know her son. You can't know Samuel until you know his mother. Then you'll have a full understanding of why he was what he was. This could have been a Mother's Day message, but I've got another passage to do it in May whenever we get there. But this could have been a Mother's Day message. For mamas, you want to know what kind of impact you can have? Study the life of Hannah. Spend time going over her song and her prayer. Let it reach down into your soul and get to work. Get to work with deadline urgency because that's exactly what Hannah did. And she got a product and God blessed her with more because He could trust her with one. Amen? God gave her more because He could trust her with one. And she did the job. Father in heaven, I thank You so much for the life of Hannah. This is really the only glimpse that we have of her life. Getting to see her true heart and how she felt about Thee. Even though she was turning over her son to a man who was a terrible parent, who allowed his sons to do wicked things in the same place in which her son would be living and ministering. But yet, because of the training and the teaching that Hannah put into young Samuel, he was able to do what was right and honor the Lord. And God removed Eli and God removed the two sons so that the influence would not be so strong on this young man's life to turn him away from doing what's right. Father, I pray that You'd work in our hearts and lives. Oh, how we need to have the Bible in our hearts. And may the Bible live out in our lives and not just be something we tote around with us. May it be something that lives in our hearts, that we might see your hand of blessing in our lives, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's close this morning with number 224. 224, day by day. That second verse talks about the Lord, He's the counselor in power, and how His promises are always true to us, His children, as we've heard this morning. Number 224, let's stand and sing that second verse as we close. Father, we thank you for the message this morning and for the example, the faith, the belief of Hannah. And Lord, how you, as the mighty God you are, who knows all things, who sees the bigger picture of things, who knows eternity. Lord, I pray that we would have a faith and a trust in you and in your works and in your ways, Lord, as we walk on this earth each day. I thank you, Father, now for this time of fellowship together around your word. Bless it in Christ's name. Amen.